Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you after a bit of a break and good to be back with you. And well, here we are. It's Pentecost Sunday. And we've been looking forward to today and looking forward to the season of Pentecost that's going to follow for a while now. And we've been looking forward with a sense of expectancy, a sense that God is wanting to pour out his Spirit on us here at All Saints in a new way. And so we've come this morning, John and I, wondering what that might mean for us as a church, and even what we might see or what we might experience this morning as we're gathered together here. And we've come with hearts that are full of longing, that we might be able to be as open as we possibly can be to God this morning, and that he would be so welcome here to do whatever he wants to do here today, whatever we might think. It's about what he's wanting to do, just as he did on that first Pentecost that we've just heard about. So it's blessed me so much that we started our service singing that song, welcoming God and telling him that we are here for him this morning and that our hearts are open. So thank you for that, Bethan. And before I go any further, can we just pray again along those lines? Because I think it really matters. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be as open as we possibly can be to you this morning. Thank you that you have good plans for us as a church and as your children. And we say again that you are welcome here to do your stuff among us. Whatever's on your heart, Lord, we welcome you. We are here for you. We are here for you. Amen. Okay, well, we've been preparing for this morning over the last few weeks as we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit in our services, on who he is and on what he does. When we come to faith in Jesus, he's the one who comes and lives within us, the one who enables us to call God our Father, Abba, Father, knowing that we are loved children of God. And he's the one who, with our cooperation, grows the fruit of the Spirit in us, making us more and more like Jesus through our lives. And Marian was talking about that a couple of weeks ago. And he's the one who gives each and every one of us spiritual gifts for us to use to encourage and build each other up. And John was talking about that last week. And today we come to Pentecost itself, and the time when the church around the world celebrates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' first disciples, bringing about the birth of the Christian church. It's where what we're part of here at All Saints in Ripley today first began. So I just want to look for a little bit at what happened on that extraordinary day, as we heard in our first reading. Now, if you remember, 10 days before that, Jesus' disciples had seen him ascending into heaven. And the last thing that he said to them was that they must wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said these words, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, they took him seriously, and we're told that they gathered together in Jerusalem from that moment, and they waited, praying constantly. I'm guessing that they had no clue what was going to happen. They just knew that something was going to happen. And then on the day of Pentecost, there they were, all in one place. And suddenly there was a sound like the rushing of a violent wind coming from heaven and filling the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw, as we heard, what looked like tongues of fire separating out and coming to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And a sign of that filling was that they were each given gifts and began to speak in new languages. And they were propelled out onto the crowded streets of Jerusalem, declaring to everybody the wonders of God. They couldn't contain or control the love and the power that was in them. How amazing is that? And as I've been looking at this week, I found myself just getting caught up afresh in the wonder of what was going on that day and in the incredible kind of dynamic momentum of it all. Because these are ordinary, everyday people, just like us, caught up in the extraordinary of God, just like we can be too. And it's full of all kinds of movement. There's a movement from heaven to earth. The blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, we're told. The Holy Spirit sent from heaven to earth, and suddenly there's a connection between heaven and earth that hasn't been there before. And through that connection, the coming of the kingdom of God begins in the lives of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit whooshes down from heaven, that's not a biblical word, but, you know, whooshes down, those disciples become carriers of the kingdom into the world. World changers, kingdom bringers, people who are touching heaven and changing earth because the Holy Spirit is in them. It's an awesome thing. Another movement in the events of Pentecost is a movement that goes from what you could call the private to the public. We see a real shift happen. After Jesus' death, if you remember, the disciples were really frightened and they kept themselves to themselves and locked in a room out of fear. And even after the resurrection, Jesus' appearances were mostly to a few and in private. But here at Pentecost, the doors was literally burst open. And what was private and hidden is now proclaimed openly and in public, spilling out onto the streets and into the highways and the byways. And their fear is replaced with boldness. And there's a new momentum that's unleashed that just keeps on moving. And if you read Acts, you can see it just keeps on moving and moving and moving. And it's a momentum that affects everybody. And that's another of the vital movements that happens here at Pentecost. It's a shift from the exclusive to the universal, or in other words, from being for a few specially chosen people to being for every single person. We're told there are people in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, and Tom did a fantastic job reading the list of where they'd all come from. Every nation under heaven, it says. And this is the beginning of the spread of the good news to every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. It's good news for everyone. Jesus is good news for everyone. And everyone has a part to play. No one's left out in this. It struck me again how it's emphasized very much in those verses at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, that everyone is included. The tongues of fire, they separated out and came to rest on each one of them. Every single one. Up until then, the Holy Spirit had been given to particular people for particular tasks at particular times. Now his gifting and empowering is poured out on everyone. It says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter says in his speech to the crowd a bit later, after the crowd has accused them of being drunk and whatever, they were obviously really intoxicated with what the Holy Spirit was doing. He says this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, which said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, men and women, young and old, all people. And all will participate in what God is doing. He talked about having visions, dreaming dreams, prophesying, bringing God's kingdom into being on earth. And that all includes you and me, men and women, young and old. And just as those first disciples needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we too need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As believers in Jesus, we are born again of the Spirit. We have new life in him, and the Spirit lives in us. The Spirit enables us to know who we are as children of God, as I said already, to call him Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is present in us all the time. That's true for all of us as Christians. But the Holy Spirit is not just about presence, not just about being there in us and with us, wonderful as that is. And it truly is wonderful as he counsels us and he comforts us and he guides us day by day. But he's also about filling and empowering. Remember what Jesus said to those disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." We need that empowering as a church. And we've sung it already this morning. We are your church. We need your power in us. It is impossible for us to be the church fully without it. It's how the church was born, and it's how the church is designed to live and to breathe and to bless the world. And how desperately our world needs that blessing of hope and of love and of peace and light shining in the darkness, as we hear, among other things, the news from London last night. We need God's power in us. And we need the power of the Spirit to give us courage, like those first disciples, to come out of hiding and to spread the good news joyfully and effectively. We're going to be singing the hymn "Send the Fire" at the end of the service, if things go according to plan. And it has the words in it that say, "Oh, make our weak hearts strong and brave, send the fire. To live a dying world to save, send the fire today." Now, I don't know about you, but I know that my heart is so often weak and fearful, but the empowering of the Spirit can make us strong and brave, and we need that. And this filling of the Holy Spirit, empowering us, encouraging us and gifting us, is not just a one-off thing. You know, we need to go on being filled again and again as individuals and as a church here together. So much of the language in the Bible that the Bible uses about the Holy Spirit is dynamic language. It's full of movement. If you think about it, breath, wind, fire, rivers, flowing, rivers of living water, as we heard in our gospel reading, wasn't it, that Noel read? And our relationship with the Holy Spirit and our need of his filling of us is ongoing. It's full of movement. It's ever changing, day by day, onwards and onwards. Now, all of this is true, I believe, all the time. But there is a reason why we're focusing on this now, and not just because it's Pentecost Sunday. And that's because of this sense of expectancy that we've had, and the suspicion that God has been preparing us here as saints on the move to receive more from him, more of his Spirit and more of his power. For some reason, there does seem to be times and seasons when there is an increase of the Holy Spirit's work, like a fresh outpouring or a new wave of something. And there have been signs that that is coming, that now is the time for us to ask for more. When John and I were at the New Wine Leaders Conference, it was before Easter, some of you will remember that we went, We had there what they call a prophetic appointment. I always knew you say pathetic appointment. Prophetic appointment. I'll tell you what that is. We've never done it before. It means that we had a 10-minute slot with a group of three people who didn't know us at all, and we had no conversation with them at all either. And they simply listened to God, and then they shared with us what they thought he might be saying to us and to us as a church. I told some of you about this, I think, at the APCM. It was an amazing thing, a brave thing for them to do, and it was an amazing experience, and we've had time to process it and pray about it and sift it. And we believe that through it, God did speak to us. And the first thing that came through that time was an overwhelming agreement between all three of them that we are entering a new season as a church here at All Saints, a season of the empowering of the Spirit, where life is going to be springing up in all sorts of ways. And one of them had a picture of us walking along, throwing what looked like grenades or fireworks. And as each one landed, flowers sprung up, all different sorts of flowers, huge variety of shape and colour and scent. So we've taken to thinking of them as flowerworks rather than fireworks that we're throwing. And all this life springing up. And we think that it is a real encouragement to us about what God is wanting to do and about a new season of the Spirit, summer coming. And then we've been involved in this extraordinary worldwide Thy Kingdom Come movement of prayer over the last 10 days, called by the Archbishop, praying for every person in this nation to come to know Jesus and for every Christian to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we've joined together with churches around the world praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit this Pentecost. And I know that many of you here have been joining in with that. And there's been a hunger rising up for more of God, for more of the Spirit. And we can be pretty confident that it's the Spirit himself in us who has stirred up that prayer and that longing because of what he is wanting to do. So, what do you think? Shall we spend some time asking for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit on us this morning? Some time receiving from God in whatever way he wants to meet with us? There's no need to be afraid. I think I just want to say that. Some of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit can sound like some impersonal, unpredictable, maybe even destructive power, like fire and violent rushing wind. But this is our God. This is the Spirit of God who knows us and who we know. He's loving and compassionate, full of grace and mercy. He knows us through and through. I was reading Psalm 139 again on Friday morning and struck by that amazing thought that God is familiar with all my ways. And he's familiar with all your ways. He knows us through and through. He knows our history. He knows our weakness, our struggles. He knows our weariness. And he knows our hopes and our fears. And he wants to fill us and to free us and empower us to be all that we can be, not to ride roughshod over us. Never that. He is gentle with us and we can trust him. And what that looks and feels like for each of us, well, who knows? Being filled with the Spirit will look and feel different, I'm guessing, at different times and for different people. Because we are all different. We're different personalities. Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts, some with different ways of expressing ourselves, different ways of reacting to what's happening. And that's good and right, and to be valued and cherished. And for some, being filled with the Spirit might be quite a physical and emotional experience. It's often been like that for me in the past. That doesn't mean it would be like that today. except that I'm trembling already. There might be tears or laughter for some. There might be trembling or shaking or leaping or dancing or other physical reactions. I don't know, and it doesn't matter. And if it's like that for you, it is okay. And please don't worry, and please don't hold back. But for others, there might be no outward sign at all, not even any particularly strong inner feeling. It's often been like that for you, John, hasn't it? And that doesn't matter either. It's okay, whatever it looks like or feels like, because we are all unique and we all respond uniquely to what God is doing. It's what's going on inside us that matters. The empowering, the encouraging, the gifting, and the change that comes through that in our lives and the lives of the people around us and in this town. And that's what we're longing for. And that's what we're going to ask for now. I've talked quite long enough. Are you ready? Jesus said in our gospel reading, talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." So are you thirsty? I am. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh this morning? Do you? I do. Well, if you do, why don't you stand up? And John's going to come and join me, and we're simply going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come in whatever way he wants to for us this morning. So I invite you to stand.